If you have your Bibles, open it to the book of Romans chapter. Okay, we'll read a number of them. Just start from the book of Luke chapter 19. I'm not going to read anything that we have. We don't read often here, so I won't spend a lot of time reading it. Just to get it as a text for our discussion today, we'll take a few of them and read. I'm finishing everything today, Courage to Conquer. I just want to round up what I was saying yesterday, which time ran out on me as I was saying it. I can't remember exactly where I stopped, but let's just read from the book of Luke chapter 19. And I want you to notice especially the rendering I'm going to be reading, which is the New American Standard. From verse 12, Jesus was beginning to tell a parable here. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. And he called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas, and said to them, do business with this until I come back. Why I like this rendering is that word with this. If you have a King James, it says something like, occupy till I come back, right? The word occupy just means be busy, all right? Be engaged in the use of what I'm giving you. But I like the New American Standard, the way it states it very, very explicitly. It said, do business with this until I come back. And then, you know the rest of the story. I'm not going to read beyond that for today. But you know how some went. And actually give them the same amount. One guy went. In verse 16, he reported that he multiplied it 10 times. And then the next one multiplied it 5 times. And there was a man who did absolutely nothing with what he was given. He blatantly, that's a good word, disobeyed what he was told. Let me say to you again, doubt is the explanation you have for not doing what you were told. Are you getting my point? The Lord gives commandments. He doesn't give advice. Every word you see in the scripture, even if it sounds like good advice, is actually a commandment. For example, it tells you, rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice. Don't look at this and say, well, that's if I'm feeling happy. Are you getting my point? That is doubt. When you qualify it by if I'm feeling happy, I will rejoice. That is doubt. You know, somebody in my office yesterday was like, well, let me just tell you the thing that happened and it will help you. Somebody works in my department and came to the office. I actually asked for her earlier when I got there. She said she's not around. Why? She's not been feeling well. So I called her on the phone, but she said she was on her way. When she got to my office, my door, she was panting like, I actually died on the second flight of stairs. I recovered just to get up here to report to you. So at the end, I asked her, what's wrong with you? She told me her heart is giving her problems. I said, you, as young as you are, your heart is giving you problems. Anyway, later on, she showed me her ECG and everything. This is where I'm going. At the end of the day, I said, you know what your problem is? She said, what? I said, there's nothing wrong with your heart. I said, go and see your cardiologist. I'm not saying you shouldn't see your cardiologist. But there's nothing wrong with your heart. I said, your problem is that you're unhappy. That's where I'm going. I said, you're unhappy. I said, which church do you go to? She told me. I said, they sing hymns in your church. You don't need that kind of church. Go to a church where they dance. In fact, everybody was laughing because I was doing my counseling openly. I was shouting it loud. I said, go to a church where they dance. I mentioned the name of one church not too far from here that the first 1 hour, na disco party. All kinds of music. People go there. I don't go to that church before. In fact, I don't want to mention the name of the churches. They're around everywhere. Their pastors love to just bring all kinds of. They go, they play music. You go sit there and say, today is praise day. If God has done something for you, a lot of people go to that church just to go and dance. You see, one day I went for their service. They are like 2 internationally renowned Nigerian ministers. Musicians, I mean. And the pastor declared that, come back everybody by 4 o'clock. We are going to dance unto the Lord. I told her, I gave her the name of the church. I said, go there. If you attend it for a few weeks, all this, your problems will disappear. I'm not talking about somebody praying for you. I'm saying, Just obeying the word that says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say what? Rejoice. I said, when you do that, all these problems you have, they will vanish. I'm just reporting this to you in case you learn something from it. There were three women there, she being one of them, gathered. I said, sickness is like a man that comes to see you as a woman. How now? How are you doing? If you smile and still smash, he will come and visit you frequently. Very soon, he'll marry you. I said, but if he comes, how now? I said, waiting. When you hang phone on him twice, he won't call you again. All the women were laughing. I said, this young woman, you are taking the call that sickness is giving you. Sickness is just phoning you now. And yeah, you are staying on the phone. When are you coming? No, we won't have closed by that time. Okay, later. All right. No. I don't like vanilla. I like strawberry. The Lord is good. I'm making an issue here. That when God says, he doesn't give advice. Every word is a commandment. If he says forgive, it's a commandment. If you don't forgive, you have sinned. Not just because you didn't forgive, but because you disobeyed a commandment. Are you getting my point? When it says give, it's an instruction. It's not giving is good. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's a commandment. Anything it tells you, if it tells you it is vain to rise up early, it may look like advice, but it's not. It's telling you as an instruction you must sleep well. That's the word of God. And every explanation you have for why you can't obey it the way it's stated is called doubt. He said to this young, to these servants, occupy, do business till I come back. And you are not allowed to say, you know, I don't like business. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's an instruction. Do business with this. Don't look for another one. If you look for another one, you have disobeyed that instruction again. That's why I like that New American Standard. He said, do business with this one that I gave to you. Don't borrow to add to it. Don't look into your neighbor's own to use his own to do business. Do business with this one until I come back. If you read through it, listen to me. There was something Rocket told me last time. I won't read this. He said he noticed that. I told him, thank you for telling me. I will point it out to people today. He said he noticed that when they were reporting to the master, the first one appeared and said, your mina has made 10 more. Not my labor has made 10 more. The next one came and said, your mina, listen, are you getting my point? The thing you gave me has power in itself to produce, and it has produced 5 more. But the man that didn't have understanding, and what doubt does is to allow you use your misunderstanding to stop the work of God. What was doubt in that guy's case? He said, behold your mina, which I put away. He did not say, keep it for me until I come back. I hope you are following what I'm saying. He never said that. He did not say, keep this safely until I come back. He said, risk it. Put it at risk until I come back. That's what business is. There's no business that's not risky. You know, in that area, I love to quote Robert Kiyosaki a lot. He said, I've seen many poor people that have never lost a dime. He said, but I've never seen a rich man that have never lost money. Anytime I'm discussing with my wife, I said, this one happened, this was what I lost on this. I said, that's the cost of that lesson. Everything has a cost. Don't ever forget. Just by the way, if you are doing business, everything has a cost. Are you getting my point? Everything has a cost. Even if you have to call somebody, please help me bring it. No, I don't have to pay transportation. It has a cost. Just as somebody else is paying it. You're following what I'm not explaining. Business is risky. Business is risky. Everything has a cost. All right? So, like I was saying, when my wife said, okay, this one did not happen. This is the money that's lost her. You know, a friend of mine was telling me, he called me today. Yesterday, he came to town for some businesses. And he had been coming again and again for this business. And each time he comes, I know how much he spends. He doesn't buy cheap tickets. You know why? He normally doesn't know he's coming. Yali, a day before he comes, he just say, oh, I have to be in Enugu. And he'll go buy tickets at that, you know, counter value, which is really quite high. Bought the flight. A taxi man is waiting for him at the airport. And he pays that man to carry him around for the next day or two. And he'll fly back the same way. And I've seen him do this for the last few weeks, several times. The next day, he said, they are offering us a price that's not good. We've turned it down. The first thing that came to my mind is, so all this money, are you getting my point? Each time he shows up, at least 60,000 naira is dead. That's conservatively put, at least 60K. So in my mind, I quickly did a mental calculation. You mean you guys are just writing off all this money that you have spent over the last few weeks? I didn't ask him when I just thought it out. And then thought it inside myself. I didn't say anything to him. And I had to say to myself again, that's business. If that business had worked out, they would have pocketed a few millions of naira. Business has risk. The man that's not willing to take the risk ends up disobeying the commandment that he was given explicitly. Do business with this until I come back. They didn't say, keep it well until I come back. Are you getting my point? Make sure nothing is lost until I come back. If he has come and said, your mina is lost, we invested in the business, we didn't get anything. You know what he will have been told? You're not good in doing business. We won't put you over any city. There will be no punishment. Yes. We invested in this, said, you need to lend some more. What they will have told him that, okay, you go and work for the man that has 10 cities. Go to him and go and learn. Nobody will have put him under serious judgment. His judgment was not because he lost money or he did not make money. His judgment was because he disobeyed a direct instruction which said, occupy with this. Be busy with this until I come back. Like I was pointing out, if he had done that, he would have found the power inside what God gave him. Please note that I'm developing, you know, we're continuing from where we stopped last time, all right? We're developing it further. Note it. Because that which God gave to you has power in itself. Are you getting my point? It does. It has power in itself. What is waiting for is for you to get up and use it. That's what they're waiting for. It has power in itself to produce. Listen, Christianity, being a child of God, being one that has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, has practical implications. I keep on saying it. What it means is simple. One of them is that you cannot fail if you bother to try. Because God did not create any failure. My little experience in life, I've noticed. Now, please follow me. I've noticed that a lot of people who claim they failed in life, go and check it, they didn't try. They didn't try. They did not try. They got up in life looking for security. They got up in life looking for where it was safe. So when things turned out bad, they thought they tried. They never tried. They never tried. And then sometimes when they try, some give up too early. A lot of people leave Egypt, but they die in the wilderness. Why? Because of a few challenges along the line. So they still are in the same category as those who didn't try. My illustration comes most of the time from my personal life, but unfortunately, I'm a preacher, you know, in quote, now I say unfortunately, all right? But you see, the truth is that these things are the same, whether you're a preacher or you're not a preacher. My own gift, my own job, what I've been given to occupy with is the teaching of the Word of God, all right? And like I say all the time, the exercise of that has power in itself to produce. Are you getting me? A man came to me once, I used this illustration. He was talking about how much anointing he has. I look back and I've gotten used to a lot of things. I have a few experiences and I seriously doubt whether he was telling me the truth. But this was what he said. They had so much power. He's in this church. This one happened when he was in this church. I think he just has charisma. Are you getting my point? There are those who have charisma. They can move a crowd, even if they are unbelievers. You've seen people like that. Doesn't mean they are anointed. Such people, oftentimes, they get into church, and we pastors make this mistake. We put them in front because they have the charisma. They will spoil everything. Just by the way, go and listen to Derek Prince. He doesn't have that kind of charisma you're talking about. But the man touched the world, seriously. He talked very nicely, very coolly. Anointing and charisma are two different things. So maybe this guy had it. It could move a congregation, you know, make them feel cool, feel happy, you know, that kind of thing, all right? But he said something to me then. He said that, he can do this, but the problem he has is that he doesn't. There's nobody to help him. I said, what do you mean? The understanding I had, I was trying to pass it across to him. Which for me, if you have the anointing to teach, you don't need help. Which kind of help do you need? If you live in a place where there's a yard, you know what they call yard, it's very good. You have instant audience. If you live in a place where maybe you have your own flat, your own duplex, whatever it is, also is good. You have instant hall. Your sitting room, no be hall with that. Wherever you live, there's an opportunity. Where you cannot turn your bedroom into a hall, you have instant audience. Where there's no audience, you have instant hall. So I said to the man, what is your issue? That's why I look back and say, forget it, it was just deceiving me. He said he needs somebody to help him, you know, so he was looking for a church that wants to start a branch. So the pastor will give him money. See, now that kind of thing, they cause quarrel. After 5-6 years now, you want to break away. So I said to that man, I said to him, I said, listen, all you need to do is simple. Just sit down somewhere and start doing, if indeed you have that anointing, if indeed you have the calling, there's no problem. Like we're saying, that gift you were given has power in itself to produce. What you need to do is what? Just exercise it. He said, we're looking for somebody who is sending somewhere. I said, no, that one is not necessary. All you need is, he doesn't have any money to rent anything. I said, you don't need money to rent anything. I like when the Bishop Oyedepo said those days. He said that when he first went to Kaduna, he was preaching. He didn't have money to buy a microphone. I was not planning to raise money to buy one. That God called me to preach. He didn't send me with a microphone. If you can't hear me, you better go and look for a microphone. After a while, people said that now we can't hear properly. You bring my mic now. So I guess people now finally said, look, we need to buy a speaker and all of that. So I'm not going to stop preaching because I don't have a microphone. So when people tell you something like, because they don't have money for this, that's why they can't do this, forget. Listen, anything you don't have money to do, you shouldn't bother doing it yet. I went to pray for a friend of mine somewhere in Enugu here some time ago. I got to a point, I prayed a prayer. And nobody said amen. And I was not surprised. I prayed it again. They were looking at me. Are you Balaam or something? Have they hired you to come and curse the people of Israel? The reason I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, may nobody lend you money to start your business. Nobody said anything. I said, let me go over it again. I said, my prayer for you today is that money you have been looking for, so somebody should lend you to start that business. May you not get it. Say amen. This kind of amen that, okay, we just don't want to offend you. I had my reason for saying it. A lot of people have had monies that were bigger than them. Then by the time the whole business doesn't work, listen, there's something about money. Let me quickly drop it for you. There's an amount you have the capacity to handle. Listen, usually that amount will come to you. I don't know whether I hear what I said. There is an amount you have the capacity to handle. If an amount of money you believe you need is eluding you all the time, the chances are you don't have the capacity to handle it. Better thank God that you haven't gotten it yet. All we just need to do this expansion is 15 million. Last year you prayed about that 15 million, it didn't come. This year you prayed about it, it didn't come. Then you scale it and say, God, make him 12.5. He still is not coming. Listen, I told you that, you see, your life and mine as believers is not average. Are you getting my point? I said it's not what? It's not average. What happens to you has a reason. I don't know. I just feel like using this testimony to illustrate it again. I told you the testimony some time ago. I don't know whether I remember or did I share it here. I was sleeping in my room. And for one reason, I turned my head. Forget all the details. I was sitting on my bed. There's a ceiling fan in my bedroom. All right? And I decided to put my head under where the ceiling fan hangs. You know? The big hub. I was sleeping. Normal sleeping. Then an angel struck me on the side. He said, how do you know it's an angel? I woke up. My stomach was paining me seriously. So I got up. I said, let me go down to the toilet. See what's going on. I came back. The ceiling fan had fallen on my pillow. I have the pictures on my computer. I can show it to you. I use that to illustrate the fact that, yeah, you know, some say, hey, thank God, oh, thank God. Oh. Yes, I thanked God. No, well, not with that kind of thank God. Oh. I said, these things happen all the time. It's just that this is the one that we saw. When I entered the room, I looked. You know, something has changed. Then who is this guy lying down on my pillow? It's a ceiling fan. If I was sitting awake, it would be like, as it's coming down, you will notice and you cover your head. This one was asleep. So if it had dropped, it would have landed square. Are you getting what I'm saying? So an angel just went, poam, on the side. And how did it manifest? I woke up with this sharp pain in my stomach. So that made me get up and leave the place. I was back a few minutes after the ceiling fan had fallen down. I can't give you details. It took it 18 months to fall down. Because it was shaking slightly, and it gently sawed off the bolt that was holding it in place. Just a little vibration, you know? Just a little vibration. I told that story to point it to you, that your life is not an accident. I wasn't relieved like, hey, praise God, oh, brethren. Praise the Lord for me. Oh, praise the Lord, amen. Ah, God of miracle. Pastor Bank, you're not grateful. I'm very grateful. I'm always grateful. I'm forever grateful. Why I'm reacting like this, I didn't think it's particularly special. I know this happens all the time. This is just one that God allowed to manifest for me to see. I know the story of the brother who told me that the day that it had been ordained for whatever reason for him to die, but before then he had given his life to Christ and that cross had been canceled. But that day came and armed robber still faced him and fired a gun in his direction. And the gun headed for him straight to hit him on the side. Except that one angel went, blocked it, it dropped. How did it manifest? The glass of the car was winding up, all right? The mechanism that carries up and down is had to leave it somewhere halfway in between. That was what the bullet hit and dropped into the body of the car. I'm telling you these things to know that your own life is not an accident. You are not alive by chance. No. There's a force that's keeping you alive. There is a force that's keeping you alive. If that force withdraws, something will just go wrong. You just die. You know what I mean? But there are different ways. Different ways. So there's a force that's keeping you alive. That's why you are lucky. You will always be lucky. I told the story that Jessica told me then of how she wanted a bike, took her past where she was going. She wanted to board a bus going to Abuja. The bus that she missed, she saw the bus run into a tanker and catch fire and roast everybody alive at Lokoja. The bus that the bike man made her miss because he was running so fast and he was deaf, you know what I mean, in quotes. Initially, she was angry with him. And the man said to her, don't worry now, sister, see this other one. And she entered the other one. And the one she wanted to miss, she wanted to enter, filled up and left. And she was behind that one and saw the vehicle burnt with everybody inside. There is something that's keeping you alive. Are you getting my point? Now, I just felt like using that one to drum it into you that you're not an accident. You're not a mistake. You're not an average person. You're not by chance person. Are you getting my point? Yes. You're being arranged. Let me get back to my message. So when a man, a woman being arranged is looking for 12 million, it doesn't come. Are you getting my point? Not supposed vex. If you could handle it, it will have come. That's why I prayed that prayer for those people that day. I said, what God is delivering you from is so that you won't enter into a debt that's bigger than you. I'm going somewhere. That Mina has produced, we're saying earlier. Now we said, this man gave an excuse. And we said that is doubt. The problem was that he didn't try. He didn't try. If he had bothered to try, he would have discovered that resources would have come towards him as is required to execute the work that God gave him. I said to you, why he was judged was because he directly disobeyed. Not because he didn't make money, but because he did what? Directly disobeyed the instruction that he was given, which was be busy, occupy. Let me say it to you again. Many of us who are saying there are no jobs, we are directly disobeying, and every disobedience has a just recompense of reward. When we say there are no jobs, what do we mean? The one I want has not come. But listen to me, there's one you have been given. And he said, occupy with this one. One day, brother was beside me. They said, where do you work? Now, he said, I don't have a job yet. I'm just managing in one secondary school. Ah! I wish he was 15 years younger than me. And I could whip out my belt. I would have beat sense into him that day. But I couldn't restrain myself. I turned to him, I said, and you don't call that a job. Meanwhile, that was what God gave him to occupy till he will come. My cousin was going to get married. So I said, I was asking my mother, I said, what does he do now? I said, the poor boy doesn't have a job yet. I said, why not? He's only teaching in one. I said, what? Mommy, you are a teacher. How can you open your mouth and say this to me? It's not allowed. The poor boy doesn't have a job yet. He's been given something to occupy with until he will come. And the coming of the Lord, we don't know what it means for each person. For Barack Obama, when the coming of the Lord turned him to a senator and turned him to a president. Before that, he had to occupy. And my emphasis again today is everybody has been given something. Go and listen to that message again. If you're on our mailing list, I send the links around. Open my eyes, O Lord. If you're around here, it's easy to acquire. It's somewhere around. Because the thing you are looking for is right beside you. Hagar was complaining that there's no water, there's no water, there's no water. This boy is about to die. Then the angel of the Lord opened her eyes and she saw the well that God had there. We are not aware that thing was dug at that time. She had been going around it, but because of a grumbling and complaining spirit, she could not see it. Whiners, complainers don't see opportunities. They are blinded. The ability to see is a gift of God. And it's with joy you will draw waters from the well of salvation. You won't see it if you're a complainer. You will not see it every day. Whining, look at it, nothing is going on. Opportunities will be going by you every day. Morning, afternoon, and night, people will be making money, doing business, you'll be complaining. And it's not because you are lazy, you're complaining so you can't see. There are businesses in front of your house that will have made you a multi-billionaire in the next 15 years. But you won't see it. Because you're always complaining. Can you imagine this neighborhood have come again? They will be cutting light and cutting light and cutting light. This country is useless. So, can you believe they have now killed Gaddafi? What's it concern? You concern the death of Gaddafi. But because you're so used to complaining, you have to find something to complain about. I don't want to analyze the death of Gaddafi for you. It's a judgment from heaven. It is, literally. God took wisdom away from that man. He didn't have to die. God took wisdom away, stripped it away from him. He was looking, he could not see. Let's leave that aside. So people keep complaining. That blinds them. If only he would rejoice, you'd be amazed what the man would have seen. There are those who wake up. In fact, one Indian was said to have said that there's money literally on the streets of Nigeria. But Nigerians are too blind. They can't see it. Now, I said it before, that when you talk about poverty, Nigeria is one country that has no reason to mention the word poverty. Rain falls, sun shines. You know, there are places where sun, not the green shine. There are places, sun shines, rain, not the green fall. We have a perfect balance. Rain go fall, sun go shine. We have only a small strip of desert towards the extreme part of the north. We have very healthy, intelligent, viable young men and women. We have all kinds of things. So look, listen. One thing we don't need in Nigeria to be a rich country is oil. In fact, it's the reason why we are poor. It is the reason. Believe me, it's the reason. Why did I say that we shouldn't be poor? There's too much to do. Listen, I've analyzed life, analyzed the scriptures. God has not yet seriously judged a country like Nigeria. He hasn't. I want to see judgment. May I not go there first? The problem we have now is that people know they use their head. That's the problem we have. That's the problem we have. As long as we have this amount of need in the environment, and we have this amount of viable, strong people, the two of them means there shouldn't be any poverty. I can't go into analyzing it. When America tells you that there's no job, what they mean is that there's nothing to do. Chinese people are doing everything. That's what they mean. The Mexicans are doing everything. So our people don't have anything to do. They can't get up and say, listen, this gutter is dirty. Somebody has been employed to clean it. It's okay, what else is going on? The roads are bad. No, somebody has been employed to fix it. The contracts have been given out. So a lot of them, they look around and they are trying to create something for people to do. Here, the roads are bad, and the gutters are dirty, the walls are unpainted, and the houses don't have good roofs. Everything is everywhere. Need to meet. And you talk about poverty. As long as it's an opportunity to labor, you shouldn't be talking about poverty. How does it apply to you? What God does is that he gives you a skill, he gives you an ability, and he puts you in the center of a need. And he says, occupy by doing this until I come. What does it mean when he says until I come? That may not be all I have for you in your life. But that is what I will use to judge you concerning where I will place you in what I really have for you in your life. Imagine David sitting down and say, when I was born, I heard that one prophet came near our house and told my mother I'm going to be a king one day. What are you doing right now? Nothing. I just wait. He goes, soon, Shelley, don't worry. You know, Pastor Banky said that one day I'm going to enter my throne. So what are you doing? Nothing. The father said, David, come and go and tend the sheep this morning. He said, Dad, you haven't gotten the prophetic unction yet. As it were, it was revealed at the beginning. Hallelujah. They said, David, you like to play music. My guests are around. Play for them now. He said, Daddy, let me explain a principle to you. Kings, hallelujah, are meant to be the ones on the throne. Amen. And other people will be there entertaining them. A king can never be down here singing for guests. Hallelujah. They will go to church and be talking nonsense. Lazy bones. He said he has an anointing to be king. His problem is that he's a bloody stupid boy who does not know that life is in seasons and men are in sizes. And that, like Paul said, and hell, while he's yet young, had better go and tend the sheep until he comes. So, Mr. King, yes, sir, occupy with these gods until I come back. So he wake up in the morning with his staff, tell the man, oh yeah, move, everybody move. Man. And as he's moving, he carries the harp. He'll be singing unto the Lord. 10 strings. He will sit down there, be defending the goats. He said, occupy with this until I come. And there is nobody that does not have a this. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let me say it again. When he will come, you will be judged on how well you occupied with this. That one that he gave you earlier. Many people are trying to occupy with something that belongs to Paul Adefarasi. A. Adeboye. W.F. Kumuyi. T.D. Jakes. Chris Oyakhilome. They say a small boy, go and buy a white suit and Jerry Cole is here. The boy should be the one sweeping in the church. He will sit down and cross his leg and be pretending like he's in the spirit. Join technical department according to Gordon's and use your teeth to bite wire. You know, you're not going to agree. You will wear a white suit. Because he said, that day when I gave my life to Christ, a prophetic word came. And that word was declaring that a prophet to the nations I have made you. You shall be bigger than a Chris Oyakhilome. You shall be bigger than a Reinhold Bonnke. Only you shall evangelize every place they could not go to. Therefore, you went to buy a suit with a goat. When you hear such words, go back to tending the sheep. Did you hear what I said? When they finish prophesying, go back to tending the sheep. Samuel was feared. I don't know whether I get my point. Samuel was feared in Israel. Because the Bible says not one word he spoke ever fell to the ground. That was one thing God ensured. If Samuel said to you, it no go better for you, you're dead. I don't know. You know the way we just talk flippantly, like, get away, you this idiot. If Samuel said that, you don't increase with that. Samuel said, don't worry. It meant there's no cause for worry. When Samuel showed up, the elders gathered and said, please, sir, have you come peaceably? That's how respected Samuel was. The Bible says it clearly, not one word that he spoke ever fell to the ground. Are you following my point? The same Samuel poured oil on David in the midst of his brethren and anointed him king in Israel. After that, he went back to tending the sheep. From there, his father called him, let me send you somewhere. Yes, Papa. Go to the front of the battle and go and deliver this. Give this one to the king. Give this one to your brothers. Yes, sir. And he was running errands. A man that Samuel. Are you getting what I'm saying? A man that Samuel said, you are the next king in Israel. He was still tending sheep. Many of us, once we find small anointing to preach, that's it too. As far as we are concerned, when they say pastors sit down, you too, you feel like pastors should sit, you two among the pastors, you sit down and you shake their hands, God bless you. We are now mates. You may have been preaching for the last 15 years. When I was still running around naked, doesn't matter. You're a pastor, I'm a pastor. Doesn't matter. The same God is rich unto all that preach for him. But there is no difference. And you see your seniors carry their briefcase. The man is... I first explained what Samuel was. Man, do you understand my point? And he anointed you king in the midst of your brethren so that even your father, your brothers, they know this one is the king. Yet his father had the audacity to send him on errand. His brothers were still insulting him. And he was still explaining. And he was still taking permission. Are you getting my point? So even though they've said to you, Reinhold Bonnke and Benson Idahosa, all the anointed put together, that's the one on your small finger. Listen, get up in the morning, wash that car thoroughly. Start your engine and go about your normal business. Are you getting what I'm saying? Don't come to me now and say, praise the Lord. When you get to your class, you're a school teacher. Students, this physics is at the things of this world. Right now, I want to teach you CRK, Christian religious knowledge. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed. They will sack you. They will sack you. They should sack you because you are beginning to go mental. They should sack you. Your anointing is beginning to spoil things for you. You should be sacked. Or you resign the job suddenly. and go and sit down somewhere and start doing nothing. Because as far as you are concerned, you have been anointed to replace all the great men. You are the bishop of the whole world. Listen, the vision is for an appointed time. Occupy with this until that time. Get back to that class. Continue to teach physics. Teach them well. Exercise that anointing to persuade people to believe. Exercise it by persuading the students to know physics. Are you getting the point I'm making? Yeah, you do that. Because you are supposed to occupy with that until he will come. What's my emphasis again? There's nobody that does not have a this. I said to you last time, there are two ways you know your this. Sometimes you have, for one way, but due to one way or the other, you have discovered what your gift is. That which God gave you from above as yours. That's one. The second way you get your this is simple. Somebody that has authority over you deploys you. Are you getting my point? I don't think David found the gift of shepherdship. Is there a word like that? There's none. I like to manufacture them to get your attention. He didn't find the gift of the shepherd necessarily. He woke up in the morning and his father said to him, "You are a shepherd. Take. Go and man the sheep. Your brothers are warriors. You are a shepherd." That's it. That's it. That's it. Listen, I am persuaded. Because it is true. Every season in your life, there is something you are supposed to be doing. If you don't know it, you wake up tomorrow morning, pray this night. By the time you wake up tomorrow, it will be clear. It's not every time that the assignment that God has for you is so glamorous. That's the issue. That's the problem with Christianity, with a lot of young believers. You understand my point? Everybody wants to either earn fat salaries or be the pastor of the church of 5,000. It's one of the two. If we're in ministry, the church must be 5,000. You don't get my point? If we're not in ministry, we must be making the money in millions every other week. But there are more things than that. As a young man I know his own assignment, it appears like when all his brothers had gone far and wide, I'm putting many things together now, his sisters have gone far to go and make money, somebody has to remain at home with the parents. I don't know why I get what I'm saying. There are some young people, they put you there. Listen, God is not stupid. I hear an amen. He knows what he's doing. He said, you've applied in about 6 different places and all the interview is now next year. Are you getting me? So now I say, meanwhile. But what, listen, later on, one day I'm going to do it, maybe before the end of the year or early next year. We'll take some character, I hardly do character studies. Have I ever done one? Okay. But we'll take that woman again, Ruth, and read through the book of Ruth and see something about her character. But if you read the book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, what I want to say, you've read it there. Ruth did not hear God. Amen? Amen. Ruth did not hear God. The widow of Zarephath did not hear God. He said, "Your people shall be my people, your God shall be my God." Naomi said to Ruth, "Don't worry. Go back. You are still young. You can still remarry and have a family. Just go." He turned to Orpah and said the same thing to her. And Orpah realized how much sense that Naomi was making. So she left. But Ruth said, "No. You know the story. Your people shall be my people, my God. Your God shall be my God. Where you die, I will die." These are all the stories. Why was she saying all of that? It's one simple reason, not two. She loved Naomi. Naomi came with a husband and 2 sons. And listen, when a man, the way the culture there was, and even till now, when a woman has a husband and 2 sons, she's not poor. Now she's returning, no husband, no son, no grandchildren, nothing. She said to herself, "I left full. Now I'm returning empty." When Naomi looked at that, she couldn't stand it. That's all. They said to Jesus, which one is the greatest of the commandments? He said, what do you think? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, with all thy soul, with everything. He said, but there's a second one which is of the same caliber. Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. Ruth didn't need to hear God. All she needed to do was love Naomi. And she found what she found. Her concern was that, who will cook for this woman? Read the story when she got back home. Everything Naomi ate, Ruth brought. They were living as paupers. If you go and read the story of the way Israel was, she had to literally go and beg for food. Ruth will go out and do the begging and bring the food back home for Naomi to eat. Don't ever downplay those things. When a young man says that, listen, my father has not been feeling very well. My mother is not very strong. They are old. My brothers are abroad. My sisters are in Lagos. This and that. I know I could get a job in Lagos, but nobody is going to stay at home. For that reason, let me stay nearby. Do this other job so I can take care of them. He's sowing a seed that even his own children will reap. Are you getting the point I'm making? Each season, there's something. That's what I'm saying. Each season, there's what? There's something. There's something. My time is going. Let me quickly get into the other things I want to say. So my emphasis is, he said, occupy with that thing until I come. And when he comes, like I said earlier, you don't know exactly the things that he's going to do when he comes. These men, when they were occupying, when they were doing business with this, they didn't know this man was returning to use the excellence with which they did that business to judge how many cities they'll be in charge of. Do you get the point I'm making? They didn't know. There are times I see young men, young women, I say, the people are just begging for poverty. That is, you wake up in the morning and say, Lord, please, this life, may I die young? May I be poor? No, there are things you do with your actions. They are unreliable. They are in a hurry. They steal. They cheat. They lie. You just look and say, God, except God does something serious for this guy. At the age of 60, he will beg. You just look at him. You're not being prophetical. Just simple, basic understanding of what life is about. When somebody is occupied with himself, with herself, as a young man, young woman, that's a poor person in the making. Let me leave that. But God is judging. He said, young men, he said, follow the impulse of your heart. He said, but know that God will bring you into judgment for all these things. That's Ecclesiastes. All right? Now, I want to try and sit down with this because I said I'm finishing this today. I'm not letting it speak to another time. So we have seen the fact that there is a this for everybody. What I began to say last time, which I want to emphasize, and finish it today, all right, is the fact that we have a duty, like I was explaining earlier, that he didn't give a piece of advice. Try and be busy. No, it was a commandment. Occupy with this. Therefore, you have no reason to say, I have nothing I am doing. You have a commandment. I said there are two ways you find out what your this is. You may have a gift, or somebody in authority over you can simply deploy you into a particular area. Wherever you are found, that's your this for that season. And you are supposed to do excellently. If you notice, they gave one man one mina, and then he multiplied it 10 times. Now, a mina those days was the equivalent of, let me just see what my Bible called it. All right? It's about like 10 days' wage or something like that. All right. It said that a mina is equal to 100 days' wages. Yes, 100 days' wages of those days. That's like what they call one denarius was a day's wage. All right? So 100 days' wages for a normal working man. All right? Now, where I'm going is this. The master gave each person the same. Let us assume he gave them one denarius, which was like one day's wage. That's 1% of what this one was. When he will come back, he will judge them not based upon whether they got 10,000 minas because he gave them a denarius. He's going to judge them how well they multiply the denarius he gave to them. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, it's according to what he's given. That's how he will be judged. And how he performed for the eventual placement in life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, please get what I'm saying. What I mean is this. when we are waiting for when he will come, whether he's a barber or a banker, the same opportunities abound for everyone. I don't know whether I heard what I said. Did you hear what I said? If what we are waiting for is when he will come, we are not talking about our own scheming. That's why you don't have any real disadvantage. You don't have. Because God knows exactly what he gave you. Listen, a lot of people who are packing and earning plenty money today, is problem they are buying. The reason being that the amount of cash you have right now does not guarantee anything tomorrow. It's the amount of faithfulness you are exercising now that guarantees something tomorrow. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because it's a special temptation in having too much money. Suddenly you start enjoying, and that's a problem. I don't know what I said. Yes, when you are, especially a young man, just come off of school, he's consumed with enjoyment. Hey, that is a problem. 20-something-year-old boy, his father is not rich, mother is not rich, now gets a job just saying that, this weekend is stressful, just disappear, go London, go rest. Hey, you know they pinch my body. My body is just be acutely pinched. No, I don't have time to explain the details. You just know that some people are beginning to go crazy. Because if your father ain't rich, your mother ain't rich, most likely your cousins are not rich too. Which means they probably are having problems with school fees. Yes, does it not make sense? It's likely, are you getting what I'm saying? You are from a place where many people need that money. And as young as you are, sorry, it's too late, it's too early. I don't care who's paying you. Just say this weekend, this Nigeria is so stressful. Just say, you now come back and say, I'm just coming back from London. You know, last week was so stressful, I had to go and sleep in Birmingham. Just not say, your own don't begin war from the beginning. That's the problem. Listen, he said, don't give me food that is too plenty. Otherwise, I'll take the name of the Lord in vain. I'll start living beyond my level, even just because I think I have the cash. Therefore, proving unfaithful. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. Therefore, proving unfaithful, so that when he will come, the diamina, I have eaten it up. I didn't even save it for you. I worked it. That's what some people are like, because they were in quotes now, unfortunate enough to be placed in the temptation to make them eat what was supposed to be a demonstration of their faithfulness. I don't want to go into money matters, but if you are like that, you are from a family of six, everybody around you, they are low class. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? But then God just selected you out as soon as you left school. Now, don't think that you have a brain. Don't be deceived that it's because you have a brain. You went for that test. You came out with a 2-1 in first class. You went for that test. You blasted it. The next thing, they gave you a job. Bam! Same morning, they pour. Listen, it's not because you have a brain. It's because you were selected to help. Before the end of the year, you see my book, So Who Will Pay For This? I explained that in there when we were talking about the matter of the gospel. But I explained it. It's not just about gospel. It has to do with the whole of life. You don't go home. They say they want to do something in your father's house. Say everybody should contribute. After all, we're all children in this house. God will slap you himself. When I say this, it's like I'm joking. I don't mean it as a joke. Because the son that he loves, he chastises. That's why, you know, I keep on telling you. I'm not one of those that believe that, every Christian, you must pay a tithe. Otherwise, you go to hell. You ain't going to any hell. If you like, pay. If you like, don't. That's your personal problem. The people have issues with. God has ordained. You know me. I've told you several times. God has ordained that as I preach hard like this. Are you getting my point? Some people are also giving hard. It's their job. It's not sharing. They say, I paid my tithe. Pastor, go and look for the rest. Have I ever shared the preaching with you? Say, okay, I have preached 10% of my time. You to come and preach 10% of your time. No, think about it. I can say, brethren, listen, this is the work of God we're all doing, especially for a co-worker. The whole of last week, I studied one whole week. in one whole day. It's about 10%, so I can preach today. So, Steve, you will study. You have to pay your own tithe and come and preach here. If I do that for 1 week, all of you won't come back here. He said, that guy don't decrease. Just all of you just go somewhere. In the same manner, you know, I've been telling you, God will bless you so much. You get what I'm saying? God will bless you. That here, amen. He will bless you abundantly. That here, amen. A day will come. I'm talking to people. So listen, a day will come. You say, Pastor, how much did you say TBN said we would need to do this? I said, it's going to come to about $25,000 every month. I said, that's not the problem. Is that all? $25,000. I said, no problem. I'll call my friend, me and him. We've talked about these things. Don't worry, don't worry. Don't even tell anybody. Let them just be watching it on television. And that's not, look, it's not as if, that God, this is my tithe. No. This is my job. Do you hear what I said? There is a case of this is my tithe. There's a case of what? This is my job. So in the same manner, I'll give an example. So the young man, God pulled you out to pull everybody out. He said to Peter, when you are converted, make sure everyone goes to school in that village. When you are converted, make sure there's no story like, we don't have where coppers will stay when they come to educate them in the village. A friend of mine, I told a story some time ago. He told me how God picked him out. And of all his peers, he's one. He's an associate professor now, my colleague, professional. I said to him, listen, you know what God said people like you should do? I said, find one or two or three people like yourself. It's not too much money. As an illustration, take a tithe, a literal tithe, 10% of whatever you are earning. Go there. Go to NYC camp in your state. And look for people who can teach maths, physics, and chemistry. That's really the thing that turns people around, you know, at that low level. I said, call the coppers. I said, how much is NYC giving you? I will give you a house. I will give you $10,000 extra. Just stay in this village for the next 12 months. You collect your allowance. I will give you a house. I'll give you $10,000 extra every month. All I'm asking you to do is please don't redeploy. Please stay here. I will make sure they give you 5 tubers of yam every weekend on top of all of this. All I'm asking you guys to do is please make it your job that this, my small cousins and nephews and nieces, don't fail physics, they don't fail maths, they don't fail chemistry. I want to see them go to university. Save that part of that money. Give a scholarship. That I'm giving scholarships. Just pick some of a few of your friends. The problem with Christians is that we go to church too much. We don't get sense again. We can do terrazzo floor for church. But we don't have enough sense to realize what really matters. I told him, I said, listen, that's what God brought people like you out for. It is not to say, I told them to read that and they did not read. He said something to me. He said, there were 7 people better than me in my class. I said, why are you so sure there were 7? He said, because I always came 8th. That's what he said to me. He said, I always came 8th in class. Always. Always. At once we do exam, I know my position is number 8. He said, but something happened. That was in primary school. We went for common entrance. Something happened. I was the only person that was given admission. He said, that is the reason why I'm a doctor today. That is the reason why I'm a specialist today. That's the reason why I'm a university teacher today. He said, because something happened one day, 7 people were jumped over. I don't know whether you get my point. And I said to him, it's for a purpose. When thou has been converted, I said, gather a few of your friends that you know can afford it. You have things like that. I said, look, when you want to do it, call me. That kind of thing. My name, not the miss. When he wants to do it, I say, oh boy, how much? You are from that village. I'm not from there. So my own will be smaller than your own before I collect all your blessings. But is it not 12 months in the first instance? I will make a small pledge. Every month for the next 12 months, what are we doing? We want to just gather money to go and persuade youth coppers to be happy to teach the next generation. I said to him, you do that for a few years. In 15 years' time, you will be one of the plenty successful people from that village. Right now, you are one of the very few. I said, but you guys do this consistently. A time will come that you won't be special anymore. There will be plenty everywhere. That we have been commanded, that's what I'm saying. We have been commanded. And there is a this that each person has been given. And our duties, all right, is to make sure that we exercise that this. Now, quickly, go to Romans chapter 12. From verse 3, he says, for through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. Again, this is an expression you find only in the New American Standard, which is one of the reasons why I love this translation so much. It said, let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, let him exercise himself according to the proportion of his faith. Remember what he said is that each person has a grace. All right? We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Therefore, let each exercise them accordingly. He said, there is a grace that a man has if he has a gift of prophecy. Let him exercise that gift in proportion to his faith. That is, in proportion to the amount of confidence he has to discharge it. If service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let me stop there, please. Now, please, another scripture I want to read quickly. Let's read that one. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. Where do I start from now? Let me just start around verse 12, just to get in context. Okay, King James, New American Standard, they have two different words, both of which are very beautiful, to illustrate what I want to say, or to explain it. It said, concerning him, verse 11, talking about Melchizedek, he was teaching hard doctrine here. That's the writer here, was teaching hard doctrine. He said, concerning him, that is Melchizedek, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. He said, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. I like the word practice here, New American Standard. King James says, solid meat, he says, strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. There is something I just want to bring out from this, and then I'll close with that. I think I will have done that. And that's what I wanted to do today. I said earlier that everybody has a this. Remember that? Now, one of the duties we have when you have discovered your this is to make sure you develop this. You get what I'm saying? And the way by which you develop it is through what? Use or practice. If you read this man's book, it will illustrate what I'm saying very well. Malcolm Gladwell. What's the name of that one before? Not Tipping Point, not Outliers. Yes, if you read Outliers. He talked about the 10,000 hour law. It's a beautiful thing to read, that is to understand it. If you see, in fact, read that book. I'm asking you to please read it in light of what we have already have been discussing. Read that book. You will see that he was emphasizing something there. Now, it's not a Bible, amen? The book, is it a Bible? It's not the full word of God, but there are some brilliant applications in there. He spoke as if what people need, all right, is just enough exercise. Yeah, but from the word of God, I know it's not true. That's just one side, all right? Each coin has two sides. An elephant has many parts, all right? So he has described one part of the whole. But the scriptures makes it clear to us there is a gift. There is an internal working. He said, thou didst form my inward parts. Are you getting my point? That is, there is a way I'm wired inside that makes the doing of something easier for me. Are you getting what I'm saying? You don't just become a good teacher. I'm a teacher, so I can get that as an illustration, especially as a teacher of the Word of God. Just because you have read the Bible plenty or you have preached plenty. But indeed, if you have the gift to teach, you improve. I'll be honest with you. I was telling my wife the other day, the early days, I couldn't listen to my own messages. They used to embarrass me. Those of you who are getting blessed, may God bless you, keep you, increase you, make his face shine upon you. I used to wonder how people will endure this thing. And they will still come back. I said, okay, if they're enjoying it, let's continue. But in recent times, I listen to it and I feel blessed. But there are times I listen, I say, what? You mean I preach that? I said to my wife that, wow, you guys are really, really enjoying it. Now, what am I saying? It's called by reason of what? Use. But you can never take away the place of the gift. That's what I'm saying. That's what I want to just emphasize. You can never take away the place of the gift. Two of them are important for success in life. Are you getting my point? First, that gift. Then the practice. Ken Hagin said something once, one of his messages I heard. He said he has heard many preachers, or has seen many people in ministry, that the degree of failure that they exercise, that they demonstrate, listen to this, he said, either they are not called, or they are hopelessly unfaithful. Now, he wasn't trying to emphasize those things, but I caught it when he was speaking. I have the message, answering the call. He said, either they are not called, or they are hopelessly, those were his words, they are hopelessly unfaithful. Using the words of Ken Hagin, that means there are two things you need for success, therefore. One, you need a calling. Are you getting my point? And then number two, you need faithfulness. Skill. Listen to this. You are never, ever born with skill. Skill comes from practice. Skill comes from use. You are born with a gift. That's most certain. But when you become skillful, it's when you have taken the gift and you have exercised it. There is no Bible teacher that's born with the Bible in his head. He can be born with the gift to teach the Word of God, but he has to go and learn the Word of God to be able to teach it. Are you getting my point? You can be born with the gift, the anointing. That's why, listen, there's a friend of mine. If the guy takes you up and teaches you that I'm a white man, you will believe him. Yes, you know, it's so clear that I'm not white. Is it not so clear? That thing Michael Jackson did, I can't try it. I will not look white. I don't know how he managed to look white. It's so clear I'm not a white man. Amen? If you're in doubt, say hallelujah. Yet, that my friend, if he sits you down and starts telling you about Pastor Banky, in 5 minutes, you will think I'm from New Zealand. No, not New Zealand. You will think I'm from Norway. Sorry. In 5 minutes, you will think I'm from Norway. When he will go and convince you that this guy, the way he talk, that's how he comes and presses the point into your head. That one is a sign of his gift. But the skill in discerning and explaining the scriptures, it comes from use. You have to take the Bible and read it. Are you getting my point? And even as you preach, every day you get better. Every day you get better. I mean, listen. If I used to tell my, there's something I tell my wife was in the way. I said, if you don't want to know whether you are called or not, you know, any Christian that's been learning good word, if they give you a microphone, you can share something. Yes? True or false? I said, if you want to know whether you are called or not, let them give you a microphone every week. That is when the truth will come out. Again, even if you are called, go and read there, this man, what is his name? Billy Graham. Billy Graham said the first time he went to go and preach somewhere as a Bible student, he had about 8 messages which he had memorized. Is it 4 or 8? That any audience they give me, I will finish them. So he had messages ready for 8 different audiences. I just give me 8 sessions, I'll finish them. Then they said, let's welcome to the microphone the young preacher from so and so school. Amen. He said, I went through 8 messages in 15 minutes. I was embarrassed to find out that only 15 minutes had gone. Are you getting my point? Now, this is the point I'm making. But by reason of use, it kept getting better. And that became a story of the past. What I want to bring out from there is that it doesn't apply to preachers alone. It applies to everybody. You may have been born with a gift and a calling. It may have been prophesied upon your head. But you must develop that stuff. Are you getting me? My time is gone, so I can't go into it. In fact, I don't think I need to go into it. I think I can finish my message there. Because we keep on preaching like I say, all right? Now, you must develop it. He said, do you see a man who is skillful in his business? It's not a man who is gifted, please. In fact, King James used the word diligent. All right? King James used the word diligent. That is, skill that he's talking about there comes out of diligence, frequent use, focusing on it. I was teaching my wife today, we're discussing. I said, listen, one of the things you have to do in life early, let me stop because my time has gone. I don't want to, maybe we'll talk about development of skills later, all right? But let me just introduce it. One of the things you have to do early in life, if you can, all right, is to locate that which you really want to do and start focusing on it because things take time. I refer to Malcolm Gladwell in that book, Outliers. He explained that there's what they call the 10,000-hour law. This is what he said. Before your opportunity to showcase your skill comes up, make sure you are putting at least 10,000 hours. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, what he was saying, that it appears as if the crucial length of time human beings need to have exercised themselves in their gift, I'm adding that gift to it now, all right, before he comes, is 10,000 hours. That is, by the time he comes, now you see what I'm saying, they must have put in 10,000 hours of use so that their skills will have been sharpened. Are you getting what I'm saying? So that when the time comes for them to showcase their skill, they won't be found wanting.